Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, March 3rd. Russia opposition builds in oil patch. Support grows to expand U.S. energy leadership, ban Russian oil imports. The story was written by Mila McEwen. With Russia's invasion of Ukraine in its seventh day, global efforts continue to exact a heavy economic price from Russia for its actions. A prime target of those efforts could be Russia's oil and gas exports. As Sean Strawbridge, chief executive officer of the Port of Corpus Christi, told a reporter Telegram in a telephone interview, Russia, quote, is a one-trick pony. Its economy is driven petrodollars or petrorubles. If you're serious about hitting Russia's economy, hit them where it hurts, their petrodollars, end quote. Senator Ed Markey has announced plans to introduce the spigot, which stands for Severing Putin's Immense Gains from Oil Transfers Act, to prohibit U.S. imports of Russian oil and petroleum products. The Massachusetts Democrat has pointed out that last year, the Russian Federal was the second largest exporter of crude to the U.S., sending approximately 245 million barrels. That equaled an estimated $17.4 billion in revenues to Russia, he said. Banning imports of Russian oil and petroleum products is drawing support, including from Representative Alexis Pfluger, the Texas Republican, whose district includes Midland. Last month, he introduced the Midland Over Moscow Act, which is currently gathering additional sponsors in the House. The legislation would have the Biden administration develop an energy strategy to counter Russia, impose strong sanctions on the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, and expand markets for U.S. energy, specifically liquefied natural gas exports. Quote, rather than replenishing Putin's war chest, Democrats should renounce their constant assault on American oil and gas. We must put Midland over Moscow, unleash American energy for the world, and restore American energy dominance, he told the Reporter Telegram by email. Ben Shepard, president of the Permian Basin Petroleum Association, commented to the Reporter Telegram by email, quote, after a year of attacking the domestic oil and gas industry, we are glad that the president has begun to view American producers as partners in this geopolitical landscape where our enemies continue to use energy policy as part of their foreign policy toolbox. Will our energy future be dictated by despotic oligarchs in Moscow or by freedom-loving, peace-loving Americans in Midland and the Permian Basin? Now is the time to choose, end quote. Frank Macciarola, Senior Vice President, Policy, Economics, and Regulatory Affairs at the American Petroleum Institute, told the Reporter Telegram by email, quote, API shares the goal of reducing reliance on foreign energy sources and is committed to working with the administration as they determine the appropriate use of sanctions for national security purposes. At the same time, we urge policymakers to advance American energy leadership and expand domestic production to counter Russia's influence in global energy markets and ensure energy security here in the U.S. and for our allies around the world, end quote. Markey's Spigot Act prohibits all imports of Russian crude oil and petroleum products into the United States in close coordination with appropriate congressional committees subject to a presidential national security waiver. It requires a report identifying the entities involved in the import of Russian crude oil and petroleum products into the United States, their links to President Vladimir Putin and other U.S. sanctioned individuals, an analysis of the risks these relationships pose in driving human rights abuses, and a comprehensive strategy to prioritize carbon-free energy as an alternative to Russian crude oil and petroleum, and it requires the U.S. president to impose sanctions on individuals and entities under current legal authorities based on the findings of the aforementioned report. According to the Ministry of Finance of the Russian Federation, 36% of all government revenue came from the oil and gas sector in 2021. Christian Stogner heading to runoff. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Though Wayne Christian handily led the three challengers seeking his seat on the Railroad Commission, he failed to cross the 50% threshold needed to avoid a runoff. The incumbent, who currently serves as chairman of the three-member commission, received 765,000, or 47% of the vote. He will face Sarah Stogner, who received 245,000 votes, or 15% of the vote. The two will face voters again in a May 24th runoff. Tom Slocum Jr. received 232,000 votes, or 14% of the vote, while Dwayne Tipton received 186,000 votes, or 11%. Marvin Sarge Summers, who was killed in a car accident in Midland County several weeks ago, remained on the ballot and received 192,000 votes, or 11.8% of the vote. In Midland County, Christian received 6,000 votes, or 47% of the vote. Travis McCormick, spokesman for Christian's campaign, told a reporter Telegram by email, quote, "A runoff was always a likely scenario. Every Railroad Commission race with more than three candidates has gone to a runoff in the last 30 years, end quote. The winner of the runoff will face Democrat Luke Warford in November. Warford received a total of 505,000 votes statewide. Warford told the reporter Telegram by email, quote, "Texas voters have spoken, and it is clear Wayne Christian is eminently beatable. With voters angry that the Railroad Commission can't keep the lights on and fed up that the commission is ground zero for corruption and self-interest, we're confident we can beat Wayne Christian in November," end quote. Sparks' win in primary sends oil and gas leader to Capitol. No runoff needed in District 31 as Republican picks up 54.8% of vote. Editor's note, this is the first of two stories looking at Kevin Sparks' victory in the Republican primary. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Quote, "We are excited to have a true oil and gas leader in Senate District 31. End quote. That was a comment from PBPA Executive Director Ben Shepard to the reporter Telegram about Kevin Sparks' victory in the Republican primary for the District 31 seat in the Texas Senate. On Wednesday, the news became official. Sparks collected 54.8% of the 46,132 votes across the 45-county district, according to the Secretary of State's office. Eclipsing 50% helped Sparks avoid a runoff. On Tuesday night, the Sparks camp thought avoiding a runoff was likely, but the remaining votes put him over the top. Sparks collected 24,776 votes. Amarillo's Tim Reed was second with 9,026 votes, or 22%. Big Spring's Stormy Bradley was third with 6,976, or 16%. The theme of putting an oil and gas expert in the legislature, and that Kevin Sparks was likely that person, started in September when Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick stated at the Permian Basin Petroleum Association annual meeting that what was missing from the Texas Senate is a senator who's an expert on oil and gas operations. Quote, "We have doctors, we have too many lawyers, but we don't really have any oil men or women," Patrick said last fall. Oil and gas matters to the state's economy, to the state budget, and to the amount of money held in the state's reserve fund, sometimes called the rainy day fund. Shepard said in an email Wednesday that Sparks' presence will help there. Quote, "In these challenging times, we really need someone with his knowledge and background to help lead Texas into the future," Shepard said. Don Sparks said Wednesday from his North Midland office at Discovery Operating that oil and gas is an area where the legislature needed the expertise, but that the campaign also was about acknowledging that agriculture also matters. "Combine the money that goes into the coffers because oil, gas, cotton, cattle, and dairy," and the elder Sparks said that impact from District 31 could be closer to 40% of the state's budget. Commodity control is how Sparks described it. Quote, "Those go up and down, and if you don't have experience, you don't survive," Don Sparks said. Don Sparks said his son will take advantage of the time he has before occupying the seat to work with other lawmakers, businessmen, and leaders to unify the district and show what an impact that 40% can have legislatively. Sparks said in a statement that he pledged, quote, "to fight back against Joe Biden's relentless attacks on the energy industry that is the lifeblood of so many in our district and our nation," end quote. Coming in an upcoming edition, Sparks gives Midland something it hasn't enjoyed in a while, a winner of a regional seat. Sparks' victory statement, quote, "Last night was a victory for the conservative majority of West Texas. Our victory belongs to the great people of Senate District 31, from Amarillo to Midland and Odessa. We have connected with so many friends and made new friends on this fantastic campaign journey. I want to thank all of you for your support, prayers, and hard work. I ran for the state Senate to give the conservative majority in West Texas a voice in Austin. I am ready to go to the state capitol to fight for the conservative principles that I know we share, our commitment to life and protecting the unborn, our commitment to the Second Amendment, and our commitment to securing the border. I believe in the 10th Amendment and limited government. I pledge to fight back against Joe Biden's relentless attacks on the energy industry that is the lifeblood of so many in our district and our nation. I will stand up for our freedoms and oppose any effort to impose vaccination or mask mandates, and I will fight to strengthen the rights of every parent so that you can know what is going on in your child's classroom and that your local school board will treat you with respect. I want to thank my wife, Jill, and my entire family. To our supporters who have been with us from the beginning, victory was only possible because of your hard work and support. I ask you to keep us in your prayers, and with God's help, I know that we can make the communities and lives of every West Texan even better." End quote.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, March 3rd, 2022. Community Roundup. Dr. Seuss Birthday Celebration. Midland County Public Libraries will host its annual Dr. Seuss Birthday Party with Basin PBS from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday at Centennial Library. A free event will feature a story time and photo opportunity with Cat in the Hat, Dr. Seuss games and prizes, and a live demonstration of a STEAM-based activity. Community partners will also be in attendance sharing resources. leading up to Dr. Seuss' birthday party. Both library locations will celebrate Seuss Week. Patrons who dress up according to each day's theme are encouraged to stop by the children's department desk to enter to win a special prize at the end of the week. Thursday, wear an animal print or picture of an animal for If I Ran the Zoo. Friday, wear your pajamas for the sleep book. MLK Adventures Spring Break Camp. The City of Midland Parks and Recreation Department will be hosting MLK Adventures Spring Break Camp from March 7th through March 11th from 1 to 5 p.m. each day. The event will take place each day at the MLK Junior Community Center, 2300 Butternut Lane. The camp is open to children between the ages of 6 and 12 years old and will cost $40 per week per child. Children will be able to participate in a variety of activities that stimulate creativity, entertainment, teamwork, and good sportsmanship. These activities include arts and crafts, indoor and outdoor sports, cooking class, board games, and much more. Registration is currently underway. You may register your child online at www.midlandtexas.gov/springbreak, at the MLK Junior Community Center, or at the Parks Office, located at 2701 West Elizabeth. If you have any questions, please call the MLK Junior Community Center at 432-685-7355 or email Joey Jolly at jajolly@midlandtexas.gov. Event schedule. Pray for Ukraine Community Vigil, 7 to 8 p.m. Thursday at the tailgate. Angel and the Badmen, 7 p.m. Thursday at 1705 West Industrial. Joe Coy, 8 p.m. Thursday at Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. The Simon and Garfunkel Story, Broadway in the Basin, 7:30 p.m. Friday at Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Brunch at the Gardens, 10 a.m. Saturday at Cafe at the Gardens. Market at the Gardens, 10 a.m. Saturday, Cafe at the Gardens. Grand Opening, Presso Tea, Midland, 11 a.m. Saturday, 4416 Briarwood. Cajun Carnival, noon Saturday, 1811 Trade Winds Boulevard. Grand Opening Cowboy Spirits, 1 p.m. Saturday, 4230 North Midland Drive. Vinyl Brunch, Dr. Seuss Edition, 10 a.m. Sunday at the Odessa Marriott. Empty Bowls, 11 a.m. Sunday at the University of Texas Permian Basin. Think Better, Live Better, 1:30 p.m. at Higher Grounds Coffee Shop. Carrot Planters, 11 a.m. March 8th at Midland Centennial Library. That Golden Girls Show, a Puppet Parody, 7:30 p.m. March 8th at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Incredible Edible Aquifers, 10:30 a.m. March 9th at Centennial Park. Baby Shark Live, Storytime, 11:30 a.m. March 10th at the Midland Downtown Library. Dinner and Live Music with Susan Landers Kolb, 5 p.m. March 10th at Cafe at the Gardens. Le Diner de Gala by Salvador Dali Tasting, 6 p.m. March 10th at the Ellen Knoll Art Museum. REO Speedwagon, 8 p.m. March 11th at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Aviation Fun Day, 10 a.m. March 12th at the High Sky Wing. Introduction to Astronomy, Art of Astrophotography, noon to 2 p.m. March 12th at the Marion Blakemore Planetarium. Goat Roping Saddle Series, 2:30 p.m. March 12th at the Mule Barn Cantina. Maribee Chocolate and Beer Pairing, 6 p.m. March 12th, 1402 Cotton Flat Road. Jason Boland and the Stragglers, 6 p.m. March 12th at the Ector Theater. 2022 Midland West Texas Bridal Showcase, 1 p.m. March 13th at the Horseshoe Arena. Dueling Pianos, 6 p.m. March 14th at 606 West Missouri. St. Patrick's Day Block Party, 5 p.m. March 17th, downtown Midland. Permian Basin Comic Con X, March 18th through 20th, at the Horseshoe Arena. Shamrock Shuffle, 5K, 10K, 1K, 8 a.m., March 19th, at the Midland YMCA. Third Saturdays in the Garden, 10 a.m. March 19th at the West Texas Food Bank. Plant Swap Meet and Greet, 2 p.m. March 19th at Far West Coffee. Farm to Table, 6 p.m. March 19th at the Polo Club. A Texas Tribute, 7:30 p.m. March 19th at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. "35th Mextex Family Fiesta Set for June 11th" by J.C. Lewis. Tex-Mex Family Fiesta will celebrate its 35th anniversary June 11th at Centennial Park. This year marks the return of the Menudo Cook-Off Competition. The fiesta features daytime Hispanic cultural entertainment, a cornhole tournament, local mascots, children's area, food competitions, food trucks, arts and crafts vendors, along with an evening concert featuring Tejano artists. Adrian Carrasco, chair of the event for the Midland Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, said the Mextex Family Fiesta exists to preserve and promote Hispanic heritage, culture, and tradition, while proudly sharing them with all segments of the community. "We have a cornhole tournament and children's parade that starts early in the morning, and then we go on into the night with the Tejano showcase and concert," Carrasco said. "We have our famous fajita and menudo cook-off, and people come from all over the state and other states to compete for who has the best menudo and fajitas." The fiesta was the first event to open Centennial Park last year with 5,000 attendees. In the past, the event has gathered more than 10,000 attendees from Midland, Arizona, California, and all over Texas. Carrasco said a lineup of Tejano artists will be announced later on social media accounts, but attendees can expect mariachi groups and folklorico dancers before the headliners. Sponsorship opportunities are available to businesses. Vendor and food truck applications will go live soon at https://midlandhcc.com/. The Midland Hispanic Chamber of Commerce hosts the annual event, which was started in 1987. The event started as the Mex-Tex Menudo Cook-Off. Steers and Stars brings record results. The 10th Biennial Steers and Stars benefiting Midland Children's Rehabilitation Center was held Saturday at the Petroleum Club of Midland. The event was presented by ConocoPhillips and was well supported by the Midland community. The long-standing fundraiser is a favorite of many and has evolved over the years, as it was formerly known as the Beefeaters Ball. This year, the event was Under the Sea themed, and themed elements were visible throughout every portion of the guest experience, including decor, menu, and during the program. The fundraiser produced record-breaking results of both attendees and funds raised. Midland Children's Rehabilitation Center would like to thank the generous underwriters, sponsors, and attendees for their support of their mission.
Hello, this is Michael, continuing to read from the inside pages of the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Thursday, March 3rd. Barbara Bush Visits Midland for Luncheon, by J.C. Lewis. Barbara Bush returned to Midland for the Buckner Shining Hope Luncheon on Tuesday at the Midland Country Club. Bush was the special guest speaker during Buckner Midland's 9th annual fundraising event, which also celebrated the 25th anniversary of Buckner coming to Midland. CEO and president of Buckner International, Albert Reyes, also attended the event. He said it is important to connect with the community and remind them of the good work happening at Buckner Midland. "We are really excited to have Barbara Pierce Bush speak as a special guest," he said. "2 years ago, we had her sister Jenna here at this event. She has Midland roots, and it's great to have her speak to the community." "We are here to celebrate Buckner," Bush said. "They are doing incredible work in Midland and in the Permian Basin, as well as 25 other places. In particular, they are supporting children and families. Obviously, with COVID and everything else that's happened for the last 2 years, people are hurting more than they were before." Bush said she thinks Buckner means hope. She said that she was excited to come back to Midland for a visit and the opportunity to help Buckner Midland. "I lived in Midland when I was little, until I was about 6, Bush said. "My grandparents continued to live in Midland, so we would come back to visit them all the time. I have tons of memories of spending time with my mom's parents. My grandmother passed away in 2019 at age 99. We haven't had as much of an opportunity to come back since then." She said squeezing in some Mexican food was on the list before leaving town. "Midland is like home to me in so many ways, and to be able to be here celebrating people who are serving their community is incredibly inspiring," she said. Bush is an executive in residence with Eric Schmidt's Schmidt Futures, a venture facility and foundation for public benefit focused on technology and society, shared prosperity, and scientific benefit. In the role, she supports racial justice, global health, and COVID-19 investments and programs. She is also a co-founder and board chair of Global Health Corps, GHC, an organization that mobilizes young leaders to solve the world's health issues. Bush led GHC when she started in 2009 for 9 years. The organization has placed more than 1,000 young leaders on the front lines of health equity in Burundi, Uganda, Tanzania, Malawi, Rwanda, Zambia, and the U.S. Buckner Midland offers foster care and adoption, as well as the Buckner Family Pathways program for single parents. Online, www.buckner.org/Midland. Obituaries published in the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Thursday, March 3rd. Jacob Jake Laurie Williams, Midland native and longtime Lubbock resident. Jacob Jake Laurie Williams IV passed away peacefully, surrounded by family, on Thursday, February 17th, 2022, following a lengthy illness. He was 65 years old. Jake was born August 11th, 1956, in Midland. In addition to many friends, Jake is survived by his sisters, Kathy Buckberry and Ann Busby, three nieces, three nephews. Jake was preceded in death by his parents, Jacob Lori Williams III and Angela Peters Williams, longtime Midland residents, and by his brother, Stephen L. Williams in Waco. In lieu of flowers, the family asks that donations be sent to One Tree Planted, https://forest-fundraiser.raisely.com/Jake Williams Memorial to celebrate Jake's love of nature and North American forests. Jake's family will receive friends from 6 to 7 p.m. Friday, March 4th at Sanders Funeral Home. Following family visitation, a rosary will be held for Jake Friday, March 4th, 7 p.m. at Sanders Funeral Home in Lubbock. A funeral mass will be celebrated Saturday, March 5th, 1 p.m. at Christ the King Cathedral in Lubbock. Hartley Hearn. Hartley was born on June 27, 2016, to Amy and Scott Hearn in Midland, Texas. Hartley touched many lives over the years. She was diagnosed with leukemia at 17 months old and battled cancer for over 4 years. She is survived by her parents, Amy and Scott Hearn of Midland, siblings Libby and J.B. of Midland, grandparents Daryl Hearn and Marcia Dowden of Granbury, Texas, Sally Beal of Abilene, Alan and Karen Morris of Midland, her aunt Mandy Joyner and husband David Joyner of Abilene, as well as many cousins, aunts, uncles, and family members that loved her. She was preceded in death by her Uncle Ryan Morris of Midland and Uncle Jason Morris of Midland. Flowers are pretty but fade in time. In order to help Hartley's memory shine, a donation can be made in her honor to one of her favorite organizations below. Colson's Frog, F-R-O-G. The Gold Corner. The Cooper Max Foundation. The Nicholas Foundation. Leukemia, Texas. The family will receive guests from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, March 5th at the branch at NPW. Arrangements under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at npwelch.com. Death Notice. Marga Warrington Pipes. Marga Warrington Pipes, 80, of Midland, passed away Tuesday, March 1st, 2022, surrounded by her family. Graveside service will be held at Frankston City Cemetery. Memorial service will be at Grace Lutheran Church in Midland at a later date. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at npwelch.com.
Good morning. This is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, March 3rd, 2022. Primary ends with upsets and landslides. Only one runoff comes out of Tuesday's GOP contest. Tuesday's primary ended with a few new faces set to take office in January, along with a couple of overwhelming wins for incumbents. State Senate District 31. With the pending retirement of State Senator Kel Seliger, Republican Amarillo, of Texas Senate District 31, Midlander Kevin Sparks wins the seat with 54.8% of the votes, or 46,140 votes. With no Democrat in the contest, Sparks, an oil man who enjoyed powerful support from the district's South End, will succeed the long-serving Seliger. Sparks defeated Amarillo resident Tim Reed, who ended with 19,171 votes, or 22.8%. Big Spring businesswoman Stormy Bradley, who had 13,723, or 16.3%, and Amarillo attorney Jesse Quackenbush, Jr., trailed with 5,103, or 6.1% of the vote. State legislators last spring moved 4 counties out of the Panhandle and added 12 to the Permian Basin as the state's population growth necessitated expanding the district to 45 counties. Sparks said Tuesday night that he had hoped to avoid a runoff and was encouraged with his district-wide support. "We have been able to make a connection with people both in the north and south parts of the district, Amarillo as well as the rural areas north of here," he said. "They bought into our vision and were willing to work hard. They understand that we need more business people at the state level. Voters asked me how I would represent the agriculture, farming, and ranching, the manufacturers and coffee shop owners, and I said, I'm a small businessman, and I understand that we have a lot of the same struggles." Reed, a retired FBI agent and a preparatory school teacher in Canyon, said early Tuesday evening that he was hoping to make a runoff. State Representative District 81. A brutal race to represent District 81 in the Texas House of Representatives ended with longtime State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican Odessa, defeating the challenger, Casey Gray, by an overwhelming margin, with Ector Ward Winkler and Loving counties making up District 81 after redistricting. 80% of the vote went to Landgraf with 10,229 votes to Gray's 20%, or 2,565 votes. Landgraf takes a fifth term in the Texas House of Representatives with no Democrat on the ballot in November. In Ector County, Landgraf collected 7,876 votes, 78.78%, while Casey Gray had 2,122, 21.22%. Landgraf and Gray each received 16 votes in Loving County. Landgraf and his wife Shelby and daughter Hollis Rose were met with wild applause at the Copper Rose Building following early election results that showed Landgraf with more than 80% of the votes. Landgraf thanked the crowd. "You made this night possible, some in the last couple of weeks and some in the last few years. But Shelby and Hollis Rose and I are indebted to each and every one of you. I know support wasn't always as easy to show this time, and that makes me cherish the opportunity to serve all you even more." Landgraf was referring to a particularly nasty campaign by Gray and his supporters, including members of the Ector County Republican Party Executive Board, some of whom financed Gray's bid. "I take a lot of pride in this opportunity, and it means a lot this time," Landgraf told the crowd. 244th District Judge. The question of who will be replacing retiring Judge James Rush in the 244th District Court will remain unanswered until May 24th, when Cindy Weir Nutter and Lori Ruiz Crutcher participate in a runoff election. Weir Nutter had taken home 3,963, or 45.6% of the votes in Tuesday night's Republican primary, and Ruiz Crutcher garnered 2,841, or 32.31%. Former Odessa Municipal Court Judge Dennis Jones came in a distant third with 22.63%, or 1,990 votes. In order to win outright, one of the candidates needs to take home 50% plus one vote. Weir Nutter said she had hopes of avoiding a runoff election, but knew with three candidates it was unlikely. Still, she said she was pleased with the outcome. In the coming months, Weir Nutter said she'll continue to share her vision and passion. Weir Nutter thanked Jones for running a clean race. "I have a lot of respect for him," she said. Ruiz Crutcher said she was pleased with the outcome as well and intends to keep her original campaign strategy, which she said is clearly resonating with voters. "I'm the only candidate with integrity," she said. Ruiz Crutcher, a native of Round Rock, obtained her bachelor's degree in English literature from the University of North Texas and her law degree from Texas Tech. Although she's not practicing criminal law, Ruiz Crutcher has said she's a quick learner. "I have no doubt that I'll be able to learn criminal law rather quickly so I can merge the two and run the court efficiently." Weir Nutter, a Permian High School graduate, obtained her bachelor's degree in business from the University of Texas Permian Basin and her law degree from Texas Tech. She clerked for the late U.S. District Judge Lucius Bunton III before spending time in private practice, handling primarily civil cases, but the occasional criminal defendant. She later went to work in the Ector County District Attorney's Office, prosecuting career criminals and defendants accused of sex crimes and crimes against children. Weir Nutter went back into private practice after several years and began representing children and their parents in child protective court. After spending 4 years as the Ector County attorney, she returned to that type of work in 2013 and handles such matters in 9 counties. In addition to her 31 years as an attorney, Weir Nutter has also spent 27 years as a mediator. Throughout her campaign, Ruiz Crutcher has hammered on Weir Nutter's past. While Ector County attorney Weir Nutter was accused of failing to report employee compensation time to the county and giving out more comp time than county policy allowed. After a months-long investigation by the Texas Attorney General's Office and the Texas Rangers, an Ector County grand jury absolved her of any criminal activities, choosing instead to criticize county policy in a rare written report. In addition, Weir Nutter received a partially probated suspension from the Texas State Bar in 1999. She has said her offense was a minor violation she didn't dispute because of personal issues going on in her life at the time. She has also pointed out transactional attorneys like Ruiz Crutcher rarely get into the courtroom, so the risk of them being disciplined is a small one. Ector County Judge. After a tumultuous first term that included battles over a new sales tax, a coronavirus, and a new juvenile detention center, Ector County Judge Debbie Hayes will be saying goodbye. Hayes had picked up 42.71% or 4,136 votes during Tuesday night's primary election compared to opponent Dustin Fawcett, who brought home 57.29% or 5,549 votes. There are no Democrats in the running, but Fawcett will have an independent challenger, Josh Wimberly, in November. Fawcett said his campaign was based on having a plan and a vision, and he thinks that resonated with voters, as did his promise of being a good communicator and team player. In the coming months, Fawcett said he intends to continue meeting with county departments to find out what their needs and wants are. He'll also continue to attend commissioners' meetings. "I'm excited about the future of Ector County, and I think this is an excellent step in the right direction," Fawcett said. Hayes congratulated Fawcett. "I wish him the best," Hayes said. "It was a good race. The voters turned out, and Ector County can look forward to a new judge January 1st. She said she's not sure what lies ahead for her, but the Lord does. "I wouldn't do anything differently," Hayes said. "I'm proud of what I did during my term in office, and I ran a clean campaign. I have no regrets." District Clerk. Clarissa Webster has been reelected Ector County District Clerk in Tuesday Republican primary. She faced Christina "Chris" Bryson. The 48-year-old Webster is serving her second term as district clerk and has been in the job for 7 years. Webster collected 5,642 votes, 62.19%, while Bryson had 3,430, or 37.81%. My opponent and I have both worked hard to campaign, and I appreciate her and the work she does in the local adult probation office. As far as the actual campaign and resulting vote, I have been overwhelmed and grateful for the continual outpouring of community support. For me, this speaks volumes to the impact we have had on making the courts and justice experience more accessible, more efficient, and friendlier than ever to not only the legal community, but also to the general population, Webster said in a Facebook message to the OA. Under my leadership, the district clerk's office has developed a strong identity and culture of excellence in persevering history, embracing technology, and planning for tomorrow. Long before it became our campaign slogan, I am committed to this office and to maintaining and preserving the integrity of the court records, she added. Bryson spent the last 23 years as an adult probation officer for Ector County Community Supervision Corrections Department. Webster graduated from Permian Basin Christian School in 1990 and then continued her education at Pensacola Christian College and then received her certification as a paralegal from the National Association of Legal Assistance in 2007. I think we ran a great race against each other so far, and it's not going to matter who wins. I just hope everybody learns from stuff like this, Bryson said. She has never run for office before. It's a lot of work. It can be very tiring sometimes. Luckily, I've got my family that has been a great support, and I've got some great friends that have also supported me, and luckily I had them standing behind me. That made it worth it, and I'm so glad I did it. I don't regret doing this because it is a learning lesson, but like I've told other people, I have a job with the county already, and I love my job. This was just something else to further my career for me personally, Bryson said. When Webster was first elected to the position of district clerk, she was tasked with moving records from paper to digital. All documents from court proceedings, whether it's criminal or civil, are scanned and put into the Ector County portal. County Commissioner Precinct 2. Longtime Ector County Precinct 2 Commissioner Greg Simmons won another term in office Tuesday night. He faced two challengers, Billy Tripp and Ryan Patton. With final results, Simmons finished with 2,535, or 53.95%. Patton netted 1,102, 23.66%, and Tripp garnered 1,052, or 22.39% of the votes. Simmons first took office in January 1999. Contacted after early voting was in, Simmons said anything could change, but he was very hopeful. Simmons said he was very pleased that the voters see fit to keep me where I'm at and continue the work I've been doing. We'll kind of cautiously wait and see what happens with all the voting that's happened today. People know what they're going to get with me. I don't surprise them with crazy votes that they weren't expecting and antics that aren't professional. So I think just the consistency of knowing what they're going to get when they elect me and re-elect me, Simmons said. Tripp is a 68-year-old local businessman and Patton a 36-year-old health care administrator. After early voting and six boxes of 26 were in, Tripp said he was going to wait it out and see where it goes. This was his first time running for office. It was a learning experience. I think I would do some things different next time, and I learned a lot, but I have no regrets, so we'll just have to wait and see what happens. Tripp, whose family has been in Odessa since the turn of the century, graduated from Odessa High School and has a Bachelor's of Business Administration from Texas A&M. Although he currently runs a residential and commercial construction company, Tripp said he's worked in earth construction in the oil field, been involved in oil and gas production, operated a furniture business, and worked as a controller for a couple of companies. He's also spent time farming and ranching with his dad in McCamey. Patton is another Odessa native. The Odessa High School grad obtained his associate degree in general studies and his bachelor's degree in business administration from American Intercontinental University. He also has a master's degree in business administration from Louisiana State University, Shreveport. For the past 7 years, Patton has worked for the Stewart Medical Group, running operations for roughly 50 health care providers and 30 clinics, including Odessa Regional Medical Center and Scenic Mountain Medical Centers. Patton said after early voting and 6 boxes came in that they were still looking at the numbers. "We've got 20 more boxes to come in, so we're going to just hold tight and look at that and go from there," Patton said. This is also Patton's first time running for office. "It's been very exciting and I've learned so much, both good and bad things. And I'll continue to fight to better this community regardless of the outcome of this election," he added. A native Odessan, Patton said he plans to be an advocate and a voice for his community. County Commissioner Precinct 4. Ector County Democratic Precinct 4 Commissioners challenger Savannah Castellon Morales upset longtime incumbent Commissioner Armando S. Rodriguez Tuesday, denying him a 5th 4-year term and setting up a November showdown with Republican Billy Hall. Savannah Castellon Morales finished with 461 or 60.90%, and Armando Rodriguez garnered 296 or 39.10% vote. "Me and my husband Daniel knocked on over 5,000 doors and made phone calls every day, getting out in the community and doing the work," Morales said, adding that her 15 years' work in her husband's Melody Bakery on the south side of town was also an asset. "I got to meet a lot of people there, and they saw the compassion I have for the community," said Morales, 36, a native Odessan who joined the County Public Works Department last September. "I want to work hard and bring back a focus on us. That's why you sit in the seat." Rodriguez is a 61-year-old Odessa native who graduated from St. Mary's University in San Antonio with a bachelor's degree in political science. "I talked to a lot of people about my work on the roads and the environment," Rodriguez said. "We also need to expand the cemetery and do economic development in my area." Rodriguez said the early voting turnout was low because the weather was cold during most of the early voting period, where he trailed Morales 176 votes to 257, and he had hoped for a stronger showing in Election Day returns. Republican leaders cheered Hall for getting into the District 4 contest because the county's southern and southeastern jurisdiction is heavily Democratic, and the November 8th general election will be a good test of the GOP's countywide strength, they said. JP District 1. Terry Lang has defeated challengers Steve Brennan and Melissa Gonzalez to remain Justice of the Peace for Precinct 1. Lang collected 1,057 votes, 57.41%, while Brennan grabbed 434 votes, 23.57%, and Melissa Gonzalez finished with 350 or 19.1%. With no Democrat in the primary, Lang won't face a November challenge. Lang, 71, first took the bench 23 years ago after spending 28 years with the Odessa Police Department. While with OPD, Lang obtained a bachelor's degree in criminal justice management from the University of Texas Permian Basin and attended the FBI's National Academy in Quantico, Virginia. JP District 2. Incumbent Precinct 2 Justice of the Peace, Missy Walden, held on for a second term despite two challengers in Tuesday's GOP primary. Walden said she was excited for a second term and looks forward to helping move all the JP offices toward digital warrants. I've been working with law enforcement on this. I'm hopeful to work with new JPs on the digital warrants, and for all of us to work together, it will be better for everyone. Walden defeated former OPD Lieutenant Ron Hughes and challenger Cynthia Moreno. With no Democrat in the race, Walden won't face a November challenge. Results were 1,346 for Walden and 359 for Hughes and 779 for Moreno in early voting. Final totals were 2,325 for Walden, or 50.31%, 1,484 for Hughes, or 32.11%, and 812 for Moreno, or 17.56%. Walden was elected to her first term after beating six other candidates during the 2018 Republican primary. JP Precinct 3. Bill Bowen emerged as the victor in the Republican primary in the race for Justice of the Peace Precinct 3, edging out challengers Freddie Redmond and Dudley Graham Tuesday night. Bowen finished with 1,107 votes, winning 56.80% of the vote, while Redmond finished with 587, or 30.12%, and Graham finished with 255, 13.8%. "We're very happy," Bowen said. "We're very jubilant. We worked hard. My opponents ran a good, clean race. There was no mudslinging. We worked hard and knocked on a lot of doors and had a good team." Bowen will now face Democrat Gerardo Arzate in November's election, who ran unopposed in his party's primary, finishing with 375 votes. With the victory, Bowen also avoids having a runoff. "I knew there was a good chance that there could be a runoff, but I was praying there wasn't," Bowen said. "It's one less race I have to worry about." In early voting, Bowen's lead was never in doubt as he received 551, while early votes, 56%, while Redmond had 303, or 30.79%, and Graham had 120, or 13.21%. Bowen said he owed his success to his campaign team. "It was a good team," Bowen said. "There were a lot of people talking and a lot of people working. There was a lot of door knocking. It was a good organization." November's race for the Justice of the Peace Precinct 3 will take place November 8th. "We're going to be working hard and continue doing what we've been doing," Bowen said. "Like the saying goes, if it's not broke, don't fix it." Despite the loss, Redmond was respectful of the voters' decision. "All I can say is that it's been a long 9 weeks of interviews," Redmond said. "I've spent about $10,000 out of my pocket, and I didn't take a penny in contributions. If that's the final result, then the voters have spoken. We should respect their choice." This was Redmond's first time running for a public office. When asked if he'll try again for a public office again, he said it's still too early to tell. "I'm not sure. I can't tell you that today." JP Precinct 4. Masterpiece Officer Elizabeth Baeza won the bid to take over as the new Justice of the Peace for Precinct 4 with her victory over fellow Democratic challengers Alfred Littleton and Jesse Porras in the primary Tuesday night. There were no Republicans in the primary, which means Baeza won't face a November challenge. Baeza finished with 423 votes, 53.95%, while Alfred Little collected 217 votes, 27.68%, and Jesse M. Porras III had 144 votes, 18.37%. "Of course, I'm very excited first and very emotional at the same token, and of course very anxious about it," Baeza said, who was at the Ector County Annex as the results came in. "It's a combination of all kinds of emotions, all very good ones. It will be the first elected office that Baeza will hold." This was her first time running for a public office. In early voting, Baeza established a lead that Littleton and Porras couldn't overcome, carrying 234 in early votes to 125 for Littleton and 84 for Porras. Baeza said the reason for her win was just going out and getting to know the voters during her campaign. "I think it was going door to door, meeting people and shaking their hands, and them asking me questions, very specific ones. Baeza replaces outgoing Judge Eddie Spivey, who will be retiring. As the results came in throughout the night, her lead did not diminish, but she still entered Tuesday's primary with some skepticism. "Doubt is always in the back of my mind," Baeza said. "I think it's a human thing, but I try not to think about it and try to be positive and go ahead and do the task that was ahead of me and just get it done." Despite losing, Littleton says he hopes for the best for Baeza. "I wish Elizabeth good luck, and I'll be standing with her," Littleton said.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.